Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of the Bible, because that's very important. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to court? Well, if you have, or if you've seen it on television, they ask you to put your hand on the Bible and to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, why do they use the Bible? Because the Bible is the truth of God from the God of truth who made and created everything that there is. And in the Word of God, there is not one lie. Now, those who claim that there are lies in the Bible don't understand the truth. Some parts of the Bible are easy to understand. Some parts of the Bible are difficult to understand. Some parts of the Bible only explain part of the subject that may be covered. Other parts of it, you need to study great sections of Scripture to get the full story. Other parts of it, you need one Scripture. And every word of God is true. Now, let's use an example here. If you're in court and you tell half of the truth, are you lying? Yes, you are, because you're leaving out half of the truth. Today, we want to talk about the most important thing that's in the Bible concerning the biblical truth about creation. Now, there are many thoughts and versions and different ideas coming out of the Bible because men like to pick and choose rather than properly divide the Word of God to know what it really, really says. And today we're going to find out that not everything about Genesis 1 is conveyed in Genesis 1. There's a whole lot more truth in different places in the Bible that we need to have in order to understand about the creation. Now, there are those who believe in evolution. There is no God. We won't bother them because it's an impossibility, and their thoughts are as though they don't even exist compared to God. There are those who believe that everything was created in 6 days. Is that true? What do other parts of the Bible tell us about the creation of God? So let's come to Genesis 1, and let's read some verses here. First 5 verses, then we will come back and begin to analyze them by using other scriptures in the Bible to give us an understanding that not everything is contained here. So Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light and the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And the evening and morning were day one. Now let's ask some questions. Let's look at verse 1 again. And hear how it reads in the Hebrew. In the beginning, God. Full stop. There had to be God before the beginning. Let's come to Isaiah 43. And here we have a statement by the Creator himself. Now, do you think that God knows what he's talking about? Oh, buddy, it was written down by a man. Well, do you think that God can control a man to write what he wants him to write? If he can't, then how could he be God? Now, we won't get into the inspiration of the Bible because we have many segments on that, so you look up about the truth of the Bible and so forth. But here in verse 13, here is what God says. Yea, before the day was, I am he. Now you think about that for a minute. In the beginning, God. Full stop. That was there before anything else existed. Then he created the heavens. Full stop. So the heavens were created before the earth. Let's look at that. Let's come to Psalm 89. Let's look at some of these things and look at the scriptures. This is why we're told in the New Testament that we are to rightly divide the Word of God. And that is rightly put it together. Psalm 89. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. Notice the way that this is worded. Exactly the same way as in Genesis. Heavens first, then the earth. You have founded the world and all its fullness, the north and the south. You have created them. So God was there, just like it is in the very first verse of Genesis. In the beginning, God. Now, Psalm 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, how long is everlasting? Well, we don't know. Our minds can't conceive it. But this is talking about eternity. Question. In the beginning was God. What was he doing all eternity, up to that point of eternity, before he created the earth? Well, he created the heavens. How long did that take? Well, we don't know. But we do know this is a scientific fact that God has given us to prove and understand the speed of light. 186,000 miles per second. Now then, some of the galaxies are millions of light years away. Some of them even billions of light years away.
Look at this. What an astounding look deep into the heavens. This is from the Hubble Space Telescope. NASA's space telescope snapped this photo that shows a cluster of galaxies, you're not going to believe this, 5 billion light years from Earth. It shows what the universe used to look like.
Really?
Astronomers discovered it thanks to a distortion of cosmic microwave background radiation, which acted like a lens.
That is stunning. A stunning
thing. 5 billion light years.
That's a long time. That's a long way off.
If everything was created within 6 days, how could the stars be seen that are hundreds of millions or billions of light years away? Another question. If nothing existed until roughly 6,000 years ago, What was God doing from everlasting to everlasting? Since God is creator and maker of everything that there is, he must have been creating. What was he doing? How did that come about? It's explained here in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, in the form of wisdom. And God brings out many things in a way so that people can come to understand about God without necessarily being confronted with God directly. Give them a chance to absorb some of the things there. So this is what he has done in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, where he has personified wisdom. In other words, wisdom, God's wisdom, his plan, his purpose, and everything that he does. So Proverbs 8 and verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. Now notice this, before the world ever was. So this tells us that God created the heavens before he created the earth. Let's go on. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth, or the fields, or the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a circle upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he established the fountains of the deep. That's how God did it. Before the world was.
And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
Now, what did he do? Let's come back to Genesis, the first chapter again, and let's read those verses again. Not all of them, but take them step by step so we can put it together with all these other scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let's look at something concerning the earth, because this verse tells us just a little bit of what took place. And we're going to be surprised that there were two floods. And why there were two floods? What happened? Now it says in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and the Hebrew there is tolu and bohu, which means in chaos and confusion. How does chaos and confusion come? Well, the Bible tells us that comes from war. How did that happen? We'll find out in a minute. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So before God started remaking the earth for man, it was covered in what? A flood. So the astounding truth we are going to find is there were two floods. One here in Genesis 1:2, and then again in Genesis 6 and 7. Very interesting. Why did God cause the flood during the days of Noah? Sin. Sin is a transgression of the laws of God. They had corrupted God's way, and they had completely left God. Now, if you want to know what that was like, we haven't quite reached that point yet in this age, but a little sidebar here, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah before the flood, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And on this sidebar, we can add, that's why there's so much confusion, there are so many lies. Truth is hard to find. That's why we need the Bible and the Word of God to find the truth. Now, let's see the first creation of the earth. Let's come to Job 38. Job 38, because we find in the Bible that God created angels before he created man. Job 38 and verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now this is true for all of the scientists today, true for all of the religionists today, true for anyone who does not truly believe in God, and that all of these things have come from God, and that he has created these things for a great and tremendous purpose. Who is this that darkness counseled by words without knowledge? What are the greatest words without knowledge? Well, it's contained in our booklet, God or No God, and the impossibility that there is evolution is absolutely insane, and it is impossible for there to be evolution. Now, there is natural selection, true, but that's not evolution.
The first time that I saw a creation presentation on natural selection, I was just amazed at my blindness prior to that in not realizing that natural selection can only operate on whatever is existing, and it can only operate to remove what is existing. And so the realization that it doesn't actually produce new genetic information was an absolute bombshell to me.
In this booklet, God or No God, you will see it is utterly, utterly impossible for the heavens and the earth and everything to be the result of evolution. So all of these men's minds, though they're highly educated, are spiritually darkened, just like Job. They think that their thoughts of evolution are greater than God's instruction concerning his creation and what he did and what he made. He says, gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you shall answer me. And we find later, Job did. So he asked this question. This is the question for every religionist, every evolutionist, everyone who believes that life just happened. Where were you when I, God, laid the foundation of the earth? Is that not before there was a day? See, because day and night on earth is for the earth. Once you get out into the heavens and into space, day and night is not reckoned as it is on the earth. Declare it if you have understanding. Now, let's just say this. Today, there are people who believe in a flat earth. There are people who believe in a cube earth. There are people who believe there's another world under inside the world.
Ideas of an occupied hollow earth would be revisited nearly two centuries later in 1947 when famous polar explorer Admiral Richard Byrd flew reconnaissance missions over the North Pole. Byrd allegedly reported in his private journal about a mysterious land beyond the North Pole, which he called the center of the great unknown.
Admiral Richard Byrd was able to fly to the North Pole and back and recorded flying over lush green areas where none should have been. And then 3 years later, he flew over the South Pole.
It's rumored that when Admiral Byrd's task force actually got to Antarctica, that one of the first things they discovered was an entrance into a hollow earth civilization that was populated by very, very advanced beings.
Admiral Byrd made a lot of unusual statements, including talking about what he called a new kind of craft that could fly from pole to pole.
Is it possible that entrances to another world can be found at the Earth's poles? And if so, did Admiral Byrd actually pass through one of them?
All of those thoughts are foolishness. They're not from God. So he says, all right, if you're so smart, who has determined the measurements if you know? How do you measure the earth? Or who has stretched the line upon it? On what are the foundations fastened? How does the earth hang in space? Well, we've been able to determine that's because of the magnetism of the sun, the spinning of the earth, which is round, and the moon, and also Jupiter, and also our place in our galaxy. And we're also affected by the other parts of the heavens. Okay. Or who laid its cornerstone? What is the cornerstone? Well, the cornerstone is what? The central glob of molten iron in the middle of the orb of the earth, which gives us magnetism. How did God do that and create all the earth around that? God did. Now notice he gives us a clue. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Who are the morning stars and the sons of God? They are the angels. So this tells us God created the heavens first, then the earth. Okay? But before he created the earth, he created the angels. Now, this gives us a clue as to what happened to cause the first flood. And that first flood, all of the strata that's way deep in the earth, that's the first flood. Now, we have a brand new booklet for you, Geology, Catastrophism, and we have it on CD for you. You can email us. You can write us. We will send it to you at no cost. And this will help explain some of the things that I'm covering here and others much more. Because it is very interesting, the things that they know in geology which really uphold the truth of the Bible, and the flood that was caused that on day before day one became, the earth was without form and void, and waters covered the deep. That is the whole earth. Now also, you need our booklet, God Know God. This is vitally important for you and We have a CD for you so you can listen to it as well. Be sure and go to our other website, truthofgod.org. And there we have many, many sermons and studies and downloadable things for you for a complete, complete education in the Bible and the Word of God so you can understand it, so you can know why you're here, where God is taking us, and that will help you understand the Bible even more. This is Fred Coulter saying, thank you for inviting me into your home.